folks, when the song leader said a few moments ago, Brother Boyce will direct us in study, I was ready. Sweet son, my sweet son just came in. I'll get through this. You guys know James, don't you? He served his country. He's got a lot of emotional problems, y'all. I know you will love him, and he'll love you. A lot of times in my preaching, I have referred to Isaiah 55, and especially verses 8 and 9, and I talk about, I got Isaiah 35, 8 here. Should be 55, I'm sorry. Every once in a while, the typewriter makes a mistake. Should be Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. And here's what the Lord God said. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says God. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my thoughts your thoughts, and my ways your ways. I've told you many times that in order to understand the scripture, you need to get the entire context. When you get the context, when it's all wrapped together, then you know what the points need to be made. Context starts actually back there in about the 49th chapter. And it'll go on through the 57th. Chapter, 58th chapter. And what it has to do with is God's plan for the redemption of mankind. It has to do, if you remember, all of you will recall Isaiah 53. And that's in the midst of this. Well, Isaiah 53, it talks about Christ and all the suffering he was going to go through. Rejected of men. He gave his life. He goes through all of this. That's not all that's contained in this whole context. It has to, for instance, if you go back to the first and second verses of Isaiah 55. Lo, you who are thirsty, why don't you come and get a drink? Lo, if you're hungry, you can be fed. Now you think about those verses and see how that ties in to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. My thoughts, your thoughts are different from mine. I'm high above. Therefore, if you will humble yourself and listen to me, then you can eat the bread. Then you can drink the water of life. Remember when Jesus was going through the land of Samaria one time, told the disciples to go on into the city and get some food for them to eat. He was going to rest there beside the well. John chapter 4. Comes a woman out of the city. She comes out to get some water. And when she gets to him, he says to her, "Woman, could you give me a drink?" It shocked her. She looked at him and she said, "I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew. Jews have no dealing with Samaritans. How can you even ask me for a drink of water? You have no care for me." Jesus said, "Woman, if you knew who it was talking to you, you would ask of me and I would give you the living water." that will spring up into you to eternal life. Oh, I know that the Messiah comes. They've all been taught. He said, I who speak to you am he. Do you remember she left her water pot? She ran back into town. People didn't have anything to do with her. She's kind of an outcast. She'd been married 5 times. Remember? And he said, the one you're living with is not your husband. He loved that woman. And he told her, you can have eternal life. I'm the water of life. I'm the bread of life that came down from heaven. That's what that's all about. So in Isaiah 55, when God is making a statement to the people of Israel, it's going to come through the tribe of Judah. It's going to come through the family of David. The Christ is going to come. And it's forecast throughout the prophets, right? So now God is saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, saith God. Heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts your thoughts, my ways your ways. In other words, if salvation has come to us, why do we fail to find the way? The way is plain. Then tell me, why is it that men do not find the way? Why do we reject the way for our own way? Your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord, neither my thoughts your thoughts. Here we go. One of the main reasons we don't find the way is we got too headstrong. Now, over in East Texas, I'm not supposed to mention East Texas that much, but when I was a kid growing up, you know what we call that? Bullheadedness. Did y'all say that too? In other words, there are some folks that are so bullheaded, they're not going to listen. They're going to do it their way, whether you like it or not. And whether God likes it or not, they're going to still do it their way. We're always asking the question, why do we have all of these thousands and thousands of denominations? Bullheadedness. Headstrong. Not willing to listen to what the good Lord says. Let me show you some people who have the right attitude. Paul is preaching the gospel. He's going through Asia Minor. Or he's going through parts of Europe and Asia. Acts 17:11. As he leaves Thessalonica, where he had problems, he goes to Berea. Remember? Acts 17:11. Now they in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they received the word of God with all readiness of what? Mind. And they searched the scriptures whether those things were so. They received it with what? Readiness of mind. If a man doesn't open his mind, if he doesn't want to know, if he's got his mind all made up, you can't move him with a stick of dynamite. That's what's wrong in the world. Everybody knows more than God does. It's my way or the highway. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Paul is telling us you've got to change your mind. Have a different mindset. If you and I truly want to know what the will of God is, we've got to do what the Bereans did. Got to get a new mindset. Got to quit thinking upon ourselves. 2 Timothy 3 and 4. In verse 1. And in the last time, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of them own selves, their own selves. They shall be boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, heady, headstrong. Right? Does that sound like today? Not just today, the whole history of man. Now, the Bible says that Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than did his brother Cain. Why? What's wrong with vegetables? I like vegetables. If I were to be anything, I'd be a vegetarian. I don't really like meat that much. Never did. What's wrong with vegetables? Go on, read it in Hebrews 11. Abel offered by faith. Cain did not. How does faith come to you, folks? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither my ways your ways, says the Lord. See there? James 4 and verse 10. James said, humble yourself before the Almighty God, and He will bring you up in due time. That's a big problem that the world has. We know it all. And that's the reason we don't want to see what God says. Headstrong. Number two, we let our emotions rule. We just lose it. There's nothing wrong with emotions, by the way. In John chapter 1, do I have it there? John chapter 2, 17. Jesus went into the temple, and he saw those people there who were making gain in the temple, selling doves and things of that sort. What did the Bible say? Get these things hence, get them out of here. This is not the place for this. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers, and he made a cord, a whip, and he began to beat them. And when the disciples saw it, y'all tell me, what did they say? They remembered the scripture, and that's Psalm 69 and 9. The zeal of thy father's house has eaten me up. Jesus had anger. There's another place, and I can't call it in my mind right now, but it says that he looked upon them with anger. There's nothing wrong with you having anger. You just got to control it to the glory of Almighty God. Anger can get you in trouble if it's not controlled, right? Look at the verse there, Ephesians 4 and verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. You can control your anger. It's okay to be angry. The Almighty is angry. You and I need to control our emotions and need to know when, what to be angry at and how to control ourselves. But a lot of people let their emotions rule their lives. And in that, a lot of folks are not listening to what the Word of God says. They're listening to their emotions. I had a guy invite me some time ago to come to their church. Oh, you're not going to believe it, he said. I'm telling you, we have people. I've seen people jump over five rows of benches. Well, what good did that do him? If you can run and jump over five rows of benches, does that make you any nearer to God? If our emotions rule the day, we lose it, don't we? They say, oh, it's the Holy Ghost. I had an aunt. My mother and she were in the kitchen. They were fixing dinner together. We had a great gathering. And she was like that, highly emotional. And she had a butcher knife. And before you know it, she had my mama, because mother's quoting scripture. My mother knew the book. And it made Aunt out bad. So she backed her up in the kitchen corner and was about to hit her with a butcher knife. And mama said, what are you doing? And grandma was standing there. What are you doing, sister? She said, oh, the Holy Ghost got a... You mean tell me Holy Ghost going to cut somebody's head off with a butcher knife? You see what we allow our emotions to do? And your emotions will allow you to believe something that's not even in there. Or it can cause you to turn away from what he's saying. Oh, I feel it though. I had a guy tell me one time, boy, I feel it right here. I said, you better get to a doctor. If you're feeling something right in there, go to a doctor. But that's the kind of world we're living in. Then there's a prideful heart. Built up with pride. The arrogant ones. Again, know-it-all. See? Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We get too big for our own selves. And we're not going to listen to what any scripture says. We're going to do it our way. That's why the Lord said, my thoughts not your thoughts, my ways not your ways. You've always done what you want to do. Isn't that right? We are in my Sunday morning class. We are Old Testament. We're going through the Old Testament. On Wednesday night, we go through the New Testament. But Sunday morning, it's absolutely amazing. The good Lord takes them, takes care of them. The next chapter, they done turned against him. The most fickle people you ever heard. It got to the point where he said, well, all right then. You don't want to go into, oh no, we'll go into the promised land. See, they sent 12 spies in to spy out the promised land. They could have been in the promised land in less than 2 years. Okay? They come to Kadesh Barnea, right there on the south, and they're going to go right up and they're going to spy out the land. From the south to the north. Going to look at all of it. Did you know they cut down grapevines? The grapes were so plenteous and they brought them. They showed the children of Israel all that. But they said, oh, by the way, there's giants that live over there. And we look like grasshoppers. There's no way we can take that land. No, there's no way you can do it. But with God on your side, you can do anything. See, they weren't counting on the good Lord. Just like a lot of times we do. We say, oh, we can't do it. Why? The good Lord said, get out there and do it. I'll be with you. And it'll be done. Yeah. We'd be surprised what all we could do if we just took the Lord into our confidence, right? But pride. So, they said, we can't do it. So the Lord said, all right, if you don't want to go in, that's it. You're going to wander 40 years. For every day he's gone, you're going to wander 40 years in the wilderness. So they had to wander 40 years before they could go in. And all of those 20 years on up, they died in the wilderness. Little old kids that were born, though, they were brought up. And they're the ones that got to go in. And Joshua and Caleb of the original group got to make it. Why? Because it says they had a different spirit. They believed what God said. And they told the people, we can do it. So the Lord said, all right. You don't want to go in, that's it. Turn and get back into the wilderness. And you know what they said? Oh, no, we've changed our mind. Now we'll go in. We're going to get them people. And so we'll go and attack them. He said, you better not go and attack them. I'm not with you. You already rejected me. You go up there and attack them. You're going to be in trouble. They went and attacked them, and they got chased out of there. Right? They had to wander through the wilderness 38 more years. Prideful hearts. I know better than the good Lord. Following the crowd. Old Brother Kebo years ago. I'm going to tell you all this one on him. He's gone. But I love that man with all my heart. What a great gospel preacher. Old Brother Kebo was holding a meeting. And so he said, say, everybody in this church, if you got 3 or 4 cars, then the wife drive one, you drive one, and let the kids drive one. So the parking lot will be absolutely packed, and everybody that goes by is going to say, what in the world is going on there? We better go in and take a look. Have you noticed how you feel when you go by a place and it's packed with cars? What's the Bible say about that? What did Jesus say about the number of souls that were going to be saved and the number of souls going to be lost? Y'all remember? The few going to be saved and the many going to be lost. That's what he said. Now, over in Exodus, and I've got you verse here, verse 20, chapter 23, verse 2. Do not follow a multitude to sin. And yet, that's what folks do. You know, that's what a mob is, right? You know, most people get involved in a mob because everybody else is involved. They get involved with it, too. And they don't know, a lot of them don't know why we're marching. What are we doing? Just everybody said, come on, let's go. And that's the way it is sometimes in human nature. All we want to do is go where everybody else goes and do what everybody else does. Why can't we be men and women of our own conviction? And why can't we get our conviction from listening to what God says? That's making sense, isn't it? Isn't that the way it is? Isn't that what God tells us over and over and over again? Yeah. I know I'm preaching to the choir. But you know what? If y'all get that stuff in your head so much, maybe you'll influence somebody else. I will obey. I have plenty of time. Really? Old Felix one time called for Paul to hear him. And old Felix was married to a Jewish. His wife was a Jew. And the record said he listened to Paul, and Paul was preaching concerning judgment to come, temperance, and all those things. In other words, get a hold of yourself. You're going to die. And it says old Felix trembled. Here's what he said. Go thy way, Paul. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for you. Now it goes on and tells us that periodically he would call for Paul and hear him again. But why did he call for him? It tells you that too. He was hopeful that Paul would give him some money and he would turn him loose out of prison. He wasn't concerned about his soul. I got plenty of time. You've talked to folks and they'll say to you, oh, I will. I'm going to do it. I've held funeral services where folks will tell you, well, I won't. I'm going to do what's right. Well, then do it. Make up your mind. We already looked at that. We got to have a straight mind to know what's right. Then do it. Do it. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. That's Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you don't know what a day's going to bring. Here today, gone tomorrow. When I was a kid, I remember Hank Williams singing this song. Tomorrow never comes. Oh, tomorrow, I'll obey the Lord tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. No, because tomorrow's today. And tomorrow never comes. You just keep putting it off, and that's going to be it. James 4:13-15. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring. Don't say we will go into such a city and there we will buy and sell and get gain. You know not what is on the morrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appear for a short time and then it's gone. That boy sitting right there that I love with all my heart. And I got another boy. Y'all know him, John. They used to sit beside their mama while their daddy was preaching. I still see it. I tried with all my might to instill what needed to be put in their hearts. I am not perfect. I made a lot of mistakes along the way. One of the major mistakes, young men and women, that I made wasn't spending enough time with my kids. I had somebody over on that side of town that I had to go see, and I had this one I had to go see, and I had to do this, and I had to do that. And little old Jeannie would take them to ball games and things like that. Oh, I got plenty of time. No, you don't. No. None of us. We don't know what a day is going to bring. Matthew 24, I used this morning, and verse 44, where Jesus said, "Be ready, for in a time when you think not, then the Son of Man comes." The end of the world is going to happen. When's it going to be? Don't know. But he said, "Be ready. For when you think not, then it happens." I love every one of you. But I'm telling you, I'm only here for a short time. Actually, the sun's beginning to set on me because I'm on the other side. You know? Now, a lot of y'all in the same boat I'm in, okay? You understand what I'm talking about? We've spent most of our life. What have we done? How much time do we have left? We don't know. And it isn't just because we grow old. Young people die too. Death is a sentence upon all flesh, right? Whether young, whether old. The main thing is, like we said this morning, is to get ready and remain ready unto the coming of the Lord. I thank you very much for your good and kind attention. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ, we pray that you will come to Him tonight. You believe with all your heart He's the Son of God. Repent of a life of sin. Confess that beautiful name. Be buried with Him in baptism. Be raised to walk in new life. And live faithful. Be ready, because it's coming. Whether we are alive or we're gone, the end is coming. It's on its way. The Heavenly Father says time is no more. That's it. And then we can't say, "Well, let me go back." No, that's it. If you drifted away from the Lord and need to come home, we'll pray with you. If you'd like to place membership with us, you can do that. Will you come while together we stand and sing?